Psalm 95, if you'll turn there with me as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Psalm 95 is the beautiful words given to us by the psalmist. It says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands have formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand today, if we will hear His voice. I want to preach tonight on this thought, come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the time that we've already had tonight. We thank You for every song that's been sung. Lord, how these things have spoken to our hearts. Lord, we thank You for the privilege to be here. Lord, as we come to the preaching of Thy Word, I pray that You'll anoint Your messenger and somehow use me tonight just to be a blessing and an encouragement to the folks. And Lord, I pray that we'd go away from here with a greater desire to live for You and to serve You. Give us that which we need tonight. We trust that You will. We recognize our need of Thee to empower us to preach, to strengthen us to go out into the world, to help us tonight. And Lord, we're going to trust that You'll do that which needs to be done in this place. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The psalmist says, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. I like that. The tones of that says that we have something that's everlasting. We have a salvation that will endure all the hardships and the hardness of life. He is the rock of our salvation. In other words, our salvation is in Him. And He's a rock that cannot be moved. He's a rock that's a firm foundation. He is a rock on which when we build our lives, that the floods can come and the winds can blow, but our house will stand. The Bible says that we are to come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. When we look at this tonight and we see this beautiful psalm, and I love the psalms. There's probably no greater reading in the world than as we read through these 150 psalms and see the different things. But we see this tonight, that we ought to come before His presence with thanksgiving. We ought to realize what an honor it is to be able to be in the presence of God. Amen. To be able to enter before His throne room. When we look at this, we begin to realize that this was written and having an understanding about the God and who He is. And the Bible says tonight that as we come before His presence in the Eastern times, they would come before the presence of a king. Many times they would come crawling on their knees and with their face to the ground. And the psalmist here does not indicate that we should not be irreverent as we come before the Lord, but we ought to come before Him recognizing who He is and come before His presence with thanksgiving and understanding that He desires us to be in His presence. Do you realize that our God has given us an open door to be in His presence at all times? We have to get permission if we were wanting to go into the Oval Office of the White House or to go before a king of another country or a leader of another country, we would have to go through all kinds of red tape, if you will. We'd have to go through all kinds of avenues and do all kinds of things. And if the truth be told, there's not many of us, if any of us, that are in this place tonight that could go before the presence of the president or of a king or of certain dignitaries of other countries. It just would not be something that we could do. But the King of all kings, the God of all gods, and the Lord of all lords had said that we can come before His presence at any moment of any hour of any day. What a Savior we have in our God. Amen? And tonight we ought to come before His presence and be in His presence often, really at all times. And as we come before His presence, we'll come with thanksgiving when we realize who He is. I believe tonight that if any of the presidents of the United States were to walk through the door, the present one we have, past ones that we've had, all down through history, that it would require of us to give him honor for the position that he has. And there may even be people that would stand and applaud when he comes into certain places tonight. And certainly, there would be an honor to have a president in our presence. But when we begin to realize who God is and to understand that He's greater than any leader in this world and to understand that we can be in His presence at all times, it ought to do something to us. It ought to move us to desire to come before Him with thanksgiving. And when we recognize who He is, understand who He is, it'll change how we view God and how we come into His presence. First of all, tonight, we ought to come before His presence with thanksgiving because He is sovereign. He is the sovereign God. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 3. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth, and the strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. As we begin to look at this tonight and understand who our God is, we realize that He is the sovereign God. The Bible says the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. This word gods here indicates the idolatry of the world and how anything that we place before God becomes an idol. And when we look at this tonight, we realize that there are a lot of gods in this world and there are a lot of kings in this world, but our God is greater than all of them. We see that there's been idols made with silver and idols made with brass and idols made with gold and idols made with wood. And behind all these idols are the curse of life, because they can't bring you what heaven wants you to have. Only our God can give you what heaven wants you to have. And tonight, as we understand that, we see the psalmist says, and as a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us in the book of Jeremiah says, why don't you go to the idols built with the hands and let them answer your prayers? You can go before them, but they cannot answer your prayers. They cannot hear your voice. But our God can hear our voice, can hear our prayers, can answer our prayers, because He is the sovereign God. He is, as the Bible says, He is a great King above all gods. And notice what the Bible says, in His hand are the deep places of the earth, and the strength of the hills is His also. You know what the Bible's helping us to understand? That God is God of the valley. He's a sovereign God. And every valley that comes into our life, God has a purpose for it. And He is the God of that valley. And He is the God of the deep places of our life. And He'll lead us through the valleys. And dear friends, we can trust Him as we follow Him. He may lead us into some of the deepest, darkest valleys we've ever known. But as we follow Him, when we come out on the other side, we'll know what it's all about. Amen? But not only is He the God of the valleys, the Bible says He's God of the hills. The Bible says here in verse number 4, in His hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. So we see the deep places and we see the high places. Every place we are, He's God. Everything we go through, He never ceases to be God. He always has been and He always shall be. And when we have the valleys of our life, He's God of the valley. When we have the mountaintop experiences, He's God of the mountain. And He's God of everything in between. And we ought to come before His presence with thanksgiving. And when we're in the valley, we ought to thank Him for the valley that He's bringing us through. And when we're on the mountain, we ought to thank Him for the mountaintop experience that we're having, because He's given it all to us. The Bible helps us to understand His sovereignty as we see that He is the God. In His hands are the deep places, and the strength of the hills is His also. And the psalmist goes on and says, the sea is His. It's an amazing thing. He's the Creator God, isn't He? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And we talk about the great bodies of water in the world today. It doesn't matter if you put before it the title of the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean or the Arctic Ocean or if the Mediterranean Sea. It does not matter. They're all His. He created them. We understand that the Bible helps us to see that there was a worldwide flood, and it covered this earth. 2/3 of the earth are covered with water. Over 200, I think they said 200 million miles. There are square miles. Is that what it is? 200 million square miles of ocean? Just miles and miles and miles of ocean. And He's the God of the seas. The seas are His. We may say the Pacific, and people may lay claim and say, I have beachfront or oceanfront property, and so much of the beachfront is mine, but I want you to know it all belongs to Him. Amen. When we begin to understand this, we begin to see the vastness of God. It's all His. It all belongs to Him. The Bible says the sea is His, and He made it. That's His claim. It's His. He made it. It belongs to Him. Because He is the sovereign God. And the Bible says that His hand formed the dry land. It's an amazing thing when we look at this massive world that we live in and understand that it's just in the palm of His hand. This one little galaxy that we're a part of is just one of many galaxies. The few stars that we might be able to see does not compare with all the stars of the heavens. And God created every one of them. God created this place we call Earth. And many people worship the Earth, worship the things of the Earth. But the Bible says we're to worship God only and to come before His presence with thanksgiving. And God gave us the Earth to enjoy. God gave us the ocean to enjoy, to provide. God gave us the dry land. I want you to think about this. God molded the Earth. He made the Earth. He formed the Swiss Alps. He formed the mighty mountains. He formed the Sahara Desert. He formed all the places of the world because He is the Creator God. He is the Sovereign God. And because of that, tonight we ought to enter into His presence with thanksgiving, thanking God that He's allowed us to be a part of Him and Him to be a part of us. He's a Sovereign God tonight. The Bible goes on and it says in verse number 6, of our text says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. So there's times that we're going to come before His presence with thanksgiving, and there's times we're going to come before His presence in humility, and apparently not even knowing what to say, but God knows what we mean. You ever had that kind of prayer? When you didn't know what to say, but you said it anyway? There was nothing that came out, but you knew that God understood? What a Savior. What a sovereign God we have tonight. When we begin to understand who He is and how great He is, we'll realize that there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too big for Him to handle. There's no problem that He can't help us to overcome or He can't help to see us through. There's no valley so deep that He can't carry us through it. There's no mountain so high that He can't take us over it. There's no obstacle in the way that He can't help us to overcome, or He can't show us the purpose for the reason that it's there, because He's sovereign. He is the God that in the beginning created the heaven and the earth, and He is the God that in the end of this earth, as we know it, will come and take His bride away. He always has been God, and He always shall be God. And dear friends, He's my God tonight, and I hope He's yours. Because of who He is, because He is sovereign, we ought to come before His presence with thanksgiving. We ought to recognize Him for who He is, that He is the great God, that He is the King above all gods, that in His hands are the deep places of the earth, and the strength of the hills is His also, the sea is His, He made it, His hand formed the dry land, and we ought to come and worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord our Maker. We ought to recognize Him tonight as the sovereign God. When we begin to see Him as sovereign, you know what we'll do? We'll come into His presence with thanksgiving. We'll realize that we can't make it a moment of the day without Him. We'll begin to understand that we wouldn't even have breath in our body if it weren't for Him tonight. We'll realize that we wouldn't have the ability to do anything if it weren't for Him, because He is the sovereign God. And the thing about Him being sovereign, He's already in my tomorrow. What's going to happen to you tomorrow? What's life going to throw at you tomorrow? What are you going to face? What kind of heartache or what kind of blessing? What kind of valley are you going to be in? Or what kind of mountaintop experience are you going to be on tomorrow? You don't know, do you? But He does. And we can thank Him. Because in Him are the ways of life. In Him we can trust Him with our tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen to me tomorrow. But I know that God knows. And as long as I'm following Him, God's going to take care of me. He's going to provide for me. He's sovereign tonight. Not only is He sovereign, the next thing we see is He's our Savior. He is our Savior. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 7. The Bible says that He's our God. Do you see that? For He is our God. This was written, of course, in a time and really great reference could be given here to the Jewish people and those people being God's people and God being their God. But now He's our God also. Just like He entered into a covenant with the Jews through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, as we've seemed to have hit on quite a bit today, I want you to understand that He entered into a covenant with us, and the day that we called upon Him to be our Savior, He became our God. You understand tonight that if He's not your God, then you're serving a false God. But the Bible says that when we were saved, that we were placed into His covenant. It's a covenant of salvation. We're part of that covenant now. I've tried to explain it many times, and I've said the same thing over and over and over. Salvation is a covenant between God the Father and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit has His part in it too. God the Father and God the Son do their part, and the Holy Spirit brings us to the Lord and shows us the guilt that we're guilty. The law brings us to an understanding of our guilt before God, and the Holy Spirit convinces us of that, and the Holy Spirit brings us to the place where we can put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, He becomes our Savior. We're placed into that covenant by the Holy Spirit. We're placed in that covenant between God the Father and God the Son, and the Holy Spirit seals that covenant. And then it's going to be open on the day of redemption, when we're all brought home to be with the Lord Jesus forever and forever. Now, who can break that? Only the rightful owner. Only the one that has the title deed to the earth. The one that created the heaven and the earth. Only He can break the seal. And He's going to break it, the Bible teaches us, when the day of redemption is upon us. When He comes and He gathers all of His children home. We're eternally safe through the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. Because salvation is not based upon what I do or what you do, but it's based upon what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. And when Christ did when God the Son did what God the Father needed to be done, then that covenant was made. And all who are brought into that covenant by the Holy Spirit are sealed, secure in that covenant. We ought to come before His presence with thanksgiving. Amen. I'm saved. Amen. And can never be lost. Amen. Because salvation is not based upon me, it's based upon Him. Right. Right. It's not based upon my works, it's based upon His grace. Amen. It's not based upon my goodness, it's based upon His mercy. And His mercy endureth forever. That's what the Bible says. What a Savior. What a Savior. Tonight we ought to realize that He is sovereign. That He's our Savior. And thirdly, He's our Shepherd. He does so much more than just save us. He guides us. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 7. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Do you understand what this is saying? He's the sovereign God. Let's bring it all together. He's the sovereign God. He knows everything about you. He created the heaven and the earth. He scooped out the seas. He filled it with water. He made the Swiss Alps. He's there in the valley. He's there on the mountaintop. He knows your good points. He knows your bad points. He knows everything about you. Yet he still robed himself in flesh and came into this world and died on an old rugged cross, knowing all the sins you ever have committed or ever shall commit. And he still died for your sins. In his sovereignty, he loved you. In his sovereignty, he knew your faults. In his sovereignty, he knew all the iniquities of your life. In his sovereignty, he knew all the trespasses. In his sovereignty, he knew that after you were saved, you would not be perfect. But he still died on the cross for your sins and became your Savior. Amen. Enter into his presence with thanksgiving. Come before him, thanking him for who he is and for what he's done in our life. We ought to come before his presence with thanksgiving. And as we come before his presence with thanksgiving, we begin to realize that he is the sovereign God. He knows everything about us, yet he still saved us and became our Savior. He knows everything about us. And even after becoming our Savior, the Bible says that we became the sheep of his pasture. In other words, he is the shepherd that will guide us. My sheep know my voice, the Lord Jesus said. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Think about that. Not only is he the sovereign God that knows everything about us, and he still became our Savior and saved us, he says, now that you're saved, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. There's going to be the times when I'm going to lead you beside the still waters. There's going to be the times when I'm going to restore your soul. There's going to be the times that you may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I want you to know I'm going to be there with you. And this is what I promise you. Goodness and mercy will surely follow all the days of your life. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Because he knows all about me. And he still saved me. And not only is he my Savior, he's my shepherd. He's going to guide me. He's going to provide for me. He's going to lead me in the paths of righteousness. He's going to lead me beside the still waters. He's going to lead me through the difficult times. And when the pasture becomes barren, he'll take me to another pasture to be sure that all my needs are met. He's a great Savior, isn't he? He's a great shepherd, isn't he? The Bible gives him three titles. He's the good shepherd in the fact that he gives his life for the sheep. He's the great shepherd in the fact that he ever liveth for a sheep. And he's the chief shepherd in the fact that one day he will soon appear to bring all of his sheep home to be with him. Why should we come before his presence with thanksgiving? Because he's sovereign. He knows all about us and he still loves us. Why should we come before his presence with thanksgiving? Because he's our Savior. And none of us deserve what we have, but we have it because he loves us. And he is our God. Why should we come before his presence with thanksgiving? Because he's our shepherd. He's going to guide us through life and take care of us along the way. We can refer back to the deep places, to the valleys, to the mountains, to the heartaches. And there's that shepherd that's going to lead us all the way. What a wonderful, wonderful God we have. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. And make a joyful noise unto him with the psalms. For he's our God. We're the people of his pasture. And the sheep of his hand. And then notice what it says. Today, if you will hear his voice. Who is he? He's your shepherd and your Savior. If you've heard him and responded to him. There's a condition. He's the Savior and Shepherd of anybody that's if they're willing to put their faith in Christ. There's a terrible doctrine out there called the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. In other words, that God is the father of everybody. No, you enter into God's family by a new birth. God is the God of all. There's no doubt about it. And everybody will bow before this God, but he only becomes a father to those who put their faith in him. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And once you become one of his children, then we ought to come before his presence with thanksgiving, because he's sovereign, because he's our Savior, and because he's our shepherd. We waste a lot of time in life, don't we? We waste time not recognizing who he is. We fret over a lot of things when if we would just trust him and realize that every valley has a purpose and every mountain peak has a purpose. God's given us the sea and he's given us the dry land to provide for us. He's given us the waters and the fish of the waters and the fowl of the air and the cattle of the land. He's given us the fruits and the vegetables. God created all of it. And he gave man dominion over all of it so that we have everything that we need. May God help us to understand tonight that he's worthy of our praise. And today, if you'll hear his voice, he too will be your shepherd, your Savior, and you'll begin to understand him as sovereign, all-powerful, the true God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had to look into thy word. In these few moments that we've been able to read and to study and think upon these things. I realize, Lord, so much more could be said about your sovereignty and about you being our Savior and Shepherd. I understand, Lord, your greatness cannot even begin to be understood by our finite minds. But Lord, as we think upon you, we realize that you are worthy of our praise, and help us, Lord, to come before your presence with thanksgiving. Help us, Lord, as we come before you, that we'd be thankful for who you are, and for what you've done, and how you've worked in our lives. Lord, if there be one here tonight that doesn't have the peace and assurance that heaven's going to be their home, I pray that this night they'd get it settled. And Lord, they'd enter into that covenant between God the Father and God the Son. The Holy Spirit, Lord, would bring them to you and seal them their salvation. For those of us that are saved, we have the assurance that heaven's going to be our home. Help us, Lord, to understand just how great you are. And Lord, what you want to be, that you're already in our tomorrow because of your sovereignty. And we can trust you with our lives. You're our Savior, our Shepherd that'll guide us. And Lord, the fears that are before us, Lord, may we find that our faith is greater than our fear. And Lord, may we give these fears to thee. Lord, have thine own way in this time of invitation. Have thine own way in our lives, our hearts, our souls. And Lord, may we realize just how much you love us. And may we be so thankful. In the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight.